All right, good morning. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower. We are here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, Steve Cochran at 6. It is Wildcard Wednesday, so you can get your requests in for that, 312-981-7200. But I'm welcoming to the studio two people who are involved in a new movie called Landline, which was shot and produced and put together right here in this city by a guy named Matthew Aaron, who is also the star of the movie. He wrote it and directed it and produced it and is in it. And then Jim O'Hare is also in it. Jim O'Hare, who you probably remember from Parks and Recreation. Welcome you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for coming in, and I really appreciate it. Congratulations on the movie.
Thank you. I only star in the movie because we could not afford anybody else.
It was Brad Pitt or Matthew Aaron. And we ended up with Matthew Aaron.
Toss.
But let's, first of all, the movie, you guys, just a few nights ago, had a Q&A and a premiere at the Music Box. That must have been really gratifying.
You know what was weird? I mean, that's probably a better question for Jim, because when you do an indie movie like this, I'm running the show.
Yeah.
Me and my producer, Anthony Giuliano. So I didn't get, a second to really, know. How's it going? they're like, we need you to do pictures with this person. I'm doing pictures with everybody. I have to arrange the red carpet. I got to arrange the posters being put up. Tickets.
Yeah.
Tickets is me.
Well, from my point of view,
it seemed nice.
I would say it seemed to be almost a full theater. It certainly looked it visually. I haven't been to the Music Box in years, so it was really cool that it was there. Yeah. But I have some craziness, too. People with pictures and, all that, which is all fine.
Yeah.
But once it started, you just listen for the laughs, and they're there. So you're just like...
That was actually very cool.
You want to hear those laughs.
Because you edit a movie. I edited it. So when you edit a movie, once again, couldn't afford anyone else. but when you edit a movie, you see it 1,000 times.
Yeah.
So it's just not funny to me anymore.
No, I understand that. That's totally understandable.
And then you watch people laugh, and you're like, oh, I forgot that part's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, it's funny. Good.
In a situation like that, It's you're nervous, obviously, but it's a hometown crowd.
Yeah.
And they're rooting for you. They're rooting for you. You know what I mean? So.
Oh, you know what my favorite was? It is a hometown crowd. And what was great was, the one genius thing I'll give us credit for with the movie was we saved that Wrigley bit for the climax of the film.
Right.
Yeah.
And as soon as you see Wrigley Field, the whole audience popped for it, clapping everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that felt good.
Yeah.
And I meant to ask you last night, it looked really bright.
Yeah.
Did you color correct and just add a little? Or
I didn't
really
color
the...
correct. I have a great color correction guy, Bob Sigla, who's fantastic. Yeah. And
Even your shoes popped.
I told Bob. I go, Bob, studio. And Len Cannata goes, Warner Brothers, Bob. Warner Brothers. And, to Bob's credit, he's like, you want your Nancy Myers picture. All right.
There you
whatever.
Go.
Sure.
But it's exciting. Well, 100. I'm going to say 500 people. Maybe. I don't know.
It was close to six bills.
Okay. Well,
six
there we
bills.
Go.
Yeah.
So,
middleman, you guys had two packed theaters for the premiere. You had such a runover. You had to fill
up
another
two
theater.
Theaters. Yeah. Yeah. But you never know. We're hometown boys, when you do a theater, you do it, show your movie in town.
And the other thing is, especially you're in that theater, and you shot a ton of the movie right in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about that in a little bit. And the movie is called Landline, and it'll be on VOD platforms on April 4th, and it's playing at the Music Box starting on Sunday through Thursday next week, if you want to see it at the big, beautiful Music Box Theater. But also, you can see it on VOD. I watched the movie. I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you, Nick.
There are a couple of questions I have about...
I appreciate it, because it's not a multi-million-dollar film, so sometimes you're not sure.
Yeah. But it's really great idea as well. But I want to, before we get into talking about Landline, you guys are from Chicago, and I want to get your backgrounds. And Jim, you're from what part of Chicago?
Well, I was raised in the South Suburbs, so Lansing, Illinois.
I got
TF South grad. Go Rebels!
Yeah.
And then, at a point in life, I moved to the North Side. I lived in Wrigleyville for... I guess 10 years before I moved to Los Angeles.
And you got family all over, too,
I have family all over.
Yeah.
All over.
Indiana
now. Dyer
we
is
got
a big
the
place.
Midwest
Everyone's
family.
In Dyer.
Yeah.
So whenever there's talk of, my manager will call and go, listen, we have some interest in a film. Where's it shooting? Chicago. Let's listen very carefully.
Right.
Because who doesn't want to work in your hometown? Because I will tell you, I've been in L.A. now 23 years this August.
Congrats.
And it still feels, this is home. And I love L.A. Like, I am not one of those people who downs L.A.
Same.
Big fan of L.A.
Same.
Love my house. Yep. Love my setup, whatever. This is still home. When I land at O'Hare or Midway, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Now I can breathe easier.
I've never lived anywhere else. And I've never lived in a suburb. I've lived in the city my entire life.
What part of the city, Nick?
I grew up 6 blocks away from Wrigley on Addison.
Oh, my God.
Right
so
on
right
Addison.
By yesterday.
Yes.
Which is in the film.
Yes, it is. I remember I purchased many things from yesterday when I was a kid. And I remember one of my favorite items that I purchased from yesterday was the one sheet for The Legend of Hell House with Roddy McDowell. It was one of my favorite things when I bought it.
You still have
yesterday.
It?
Yes, of course
there
I am.
Did you ever hang at Guthrie's on
I did. We played board games in the back.
Yes,
and all
that was one of my hangouts. You'd do a play, and then you meet all your friends doing plays. You'd meet at Guthrie's.
By the way, I heard from my ex-theater company.
Which is?
The Factory Theater.
I was just there.
I just heard that you were there.
Yes. Yesterday afternoon, we had this... I had the afternoon free, and if I can see live theater, that's what I'm going to do. And I just went online and I looked, and what looked interesting, they're doing a show called Born Ready, and it was awesome.
Good.
It was so great.
I was AD of that company for about 14 years.
Really?
Yeah, I was with the company. I wrote, directed, was in a bunch
of
plays.
Space is awesome.
It's about a year old.
Yeah, they were telling me. It's
we
new.
Did a bunch of shows. You know, we had a space in the early 90s in Rogers Park.
Yeah.
A storefront in Rogers Park.
Oh, that's cool.
And then we shared the prop theater on Elston for many years. And I was with the company for 14 years. I was AD for about 8 or 9.
Yeah.
And those are my people. Stacy, who wrote it, I've directed her in like 2 or 3 shows.
Well, I never realized they were telling me afterward. It's all original pieces.
All original.
What's the play about?
Well, it's about... It's
a period piece, right?
And I don't want to say much because the ending shocked the hell out of me. Do you know the show?
I haven't seen it. Yeah, I mean, I know the show, but I haven't seen it.
I was like, damn.
Mm-hmm.
But... It's about the television, basically, I guess in the 50s, because they think they're trying to find the new funny woman, you know, like your Lucy or whatever.
Mary Tyler Moore, whatever.
That type of thing. And so there's this, and the lead actress, I wish I knew her name, and I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, does
Fantastic.
She nail it. And it's also, there's some songs in it, not a whole lot of music, but her voice is great, and she's got a little bit of a raspy thing going on that was just awesome.
Yeah. One of my good buddies is an actor who's in it named Eric Roach. He played the announcer.
Oh,
and
the bigger guy.
Yeah,
yes.
He's
was
a
great.
Tremendously funny guy.
Super funny.
Yeah, I
show.
Love the Factory. Those, the, you know.
How did you hear I was there?
Somebody, Stacy said.
Jim O'Hare's in town.
Said
TMZ.
Jim O'Hare came to see my show yesterday.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Well, that's a big deal. When Jerry from Parks and Rec comes to see your show, it's
God
a big deal.
Him.
No, it's great that those are original plays, though, because Lee Capreas, who plays Norm in the film, Lee always tells me, and I wish I would have saw this, the greatest thing he ever saw in Chicago was Killer Joe.
Killer Joe on stage.
Amazing.
On
Tracy
stage.
Letts.
Yeah. And I wish I would have saw
it. It's amazing to me. I saw it.
I was there opening
you guys
weekend.
Saw it.
I saw it in Evanston.
I saw it in L.A. too.
Yeah. I never saw it anywhere else, but I saw it in Evanston when the weekend had opened with Michael Shannon.
Because I had never, to that point, I mean, there was nudity, like, you know.
Yeah.
And actually the
Gore.
Girl, the heartbreaking, but the girl who starred in it was his girlfriend at the time, and she passed away from some damn cancer of something, you know, terrible, all that crap. So that show had just so much.
Tracy,
what an underrated actor, by the way, Tracy Letts.
Underrated actor. He's a great actor.
Yeah.
And by the way, he's appearing in like 8 movies.
Yeah,
good.
He works now.
Good.
Yeah,
but the last thing
I did in Chicago before I moved to L.A. was a commercial with him for Boston Market.
You did?
And we lied. We both lied. We told the casting director that we knew how to drive a stick shift, and neither one of us did. And so they put me behind the wheel of a truck, but it wasn't just because I had a friend try to teach me real quick how to do a stick
like
shift.
A U-Haul
but it was
of
one
truck,
of those
or?
On the three on a tree or something.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know what I was doing.
But you know what? You always say yes.
Jim, can you ride a dragon? Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Jim, have you ever delivered a baby? Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You never say
no. By the way, Eleanor Katz plays the lead in
She's
in,
awesome.
In
she's Born first, Ready. And they're all awesome, but it's her show, you know, and she's the main thing.
That's great.
But I
Born
could
Ready?
Not.
Born
it's
Ready.
Born Ready.
The
I could
Factory
not
Theater, yeah.
speak more highly of it. And there's nothing I like better than getting to see live theater. And what I love about their space. You know, because you know how you go see the Hamiltons and the big shows and
at the Cadillac.
And they're awesome.
Goodman,
and my God, Wicked and all the big shows, Mormon, you know, all that stuff. these people are 3 feet from your face.
Yeah.
And how awesome.
It's the best.
To see, you know what I mean? It's,
yeah.
It's just right
there. You're
more
there. Involved.
The thing
you're
about, the
so
thing about
involved.
That, the thing about that, well, first of all, the theater community in Chicago, I think is the best in
yep.
the country.
And, yep.
I tell people, all the time, start in Chicago.
Absolutely.
Start here.
But the thing about what that makes the Factory special, as you mentioned before, you know, it's all original stuff. It's, you know, I mean, I got, about I've produced through the Factory about 20 plays.
Wow.
You know, and I could never do that anyplace else,
no.
in any city, anywhere.
No.
And I got to direct like 30 shows.
And they apparently have a great pool of talent.
Yeah, they do.
This is not just some
no,
people off the street.
No, these are great people. And that's and I'm and they're thrilled that you came to see this.
Oh,
show.
It was
really
my
are.
It was
that's
no, great. I was the one that was thrilled.
So, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back we'll talk about Landline, tell everybody what it's about. And how it was made and where you guys shot it and how you got Rhino to be in it.
Yeah.
and we'll talk more about that. And by the way, your timing for shooting a movie in Wrigleyville couldn't have been better.
Yeah.
Because they won the damn World
yeah.
Series.
You're welcome, Chicago. You are welcome.
Okay, we're going to take a break and we'll come back. Jim O'Hare and Matthew Aaron from the movie Landline are here live in studio. It's going to be playing the Music Box Theater all of next week, and April 4th it will be on VOD. And we'll come back after this on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate Studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5 a.m. I am really thrilled to have in studio Matthew Aaron, who is the star, the writer, director, producer, editor of a movie called Landline, and Jim O'Hare, who is one of the stars of the film, and you remember him as Jerry from Parks and Rec. As I looked at your IMDb page, 142 credits.
Yeah,
apparently, yeah, it's been.
I always bust his chops because everyone says Jerry from Parks and Rec, and I go Jim O'Hare
yeah.
from Ed.
I hate him.
Yeah.
I did a movie with Matt LeBlanc and a fake monkey
yeah.
many years ago.
You know, we were talking about, what's really funny is we were talking about, there's this thing that's happening on Facebook where people are picking their favorite movies from the year that they
yes, I saw
right.
from
they
each year that they were, yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. So I went all the way back to 65 and I started picking
wow.
all my favorite movies up until now.
Wow.
And my producer, Dan Chagrou, who you've,
yeah.
you guys have met, one of his
from 2003
was it 2000 no what because it's 2006
it like
his
14.
Choice was
okay.
Are you ready? His choice for 2006
yeah
accepted.
I
really?
Was in that.
Yes,
yeah.
really?
I thought you were gonna say Ed. I'm like, he's
no.
smoking something. Because Ed was a horrible movie, but Accepted was fun.
Yeah,
yes,
that's good.
Dan, I'm on board. I played Jonah Hill's dad.
That's
yeah.
funny that it's
yeah.
his favorite movie of 2006.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have given it that.
They
but...
made a few, Dan, in
yeah.
2006. But...
He just said it was a slow year.
It was a slow year.
Not really. Children of Men came out that year, Dan. So
wow. Well, thank God he didn't say Ed from 90-something.
Yeah.
That was
yeah, I remember
good.
When that came out,
yeah.
Ed.
I always tell the story, and I told Matt just probably the other day. So I go to the screening.
Favorite.
It was my first film, so I
was your first
beyond
movie.
Excited. You know, I just the way it worked. I was in L.A. and I landed a pilot and a movie within 24 hours.
Wow!
I had booked both of them, so it was one of those.
I'm a star.
Oh my gosh! You know, and then you realize that ain't really how it works out there. You know, the next 6 months, nothing. You know, so anyway, I do this film, and I had so much fun. They built a baseball stadium, Santa Clarita. I mean, it was Matt LeBlanc. The friends had blown up.
Yeah.
So they
yeah.
were all getting their movies. And so they were putting the money behind it, and they built a baseball stadium. And I played the announcer of the home team, and, you know, I just had a great
yeah.
time. Now we're at the premiere, and I'm watching it going, oh, this is not good. Oh, boy. Oh,
same
boy.
Same reaction you had landlines.
No, I didn't have that. But it was like, oh, okay, well, you know, I had a great time. No one's going to blame me
because right.
I'm just the...
right.
So I see Matt afterward, and he looks at me, and it, believe me, Matt is the nicest guy you'll ever meet, and he goes, I think we got a winner.
Oh, no.
And
oh, no.
But then I'm thinking, oh, he knows more than I do. I must be the idiot, you
yeah.
know, and I don't know what I'm looking at. Well, no, turns
yeah.
out I was not the idiot.
Yeah.
But then many years later, I do an episode of Friends. And when I get on set, he's like, oh, my God, Jim's here. And he introduced me to the rest of the cast as the guy from his bad movie. So they all had done.
They all had bad movies
all
at that
had
point.
Their, you know, what's her name? Had
but my favorite is, yeah, but my favorite is that one where Aniston's like, yeah, my worst was Leprechaun, whatever.
Yes.
She picked the one before her friend's
right.
career.
Yes.
Yeah. But because they were awesome. I mean, what a great group. And what I loved about them, I always say this because it was with the same with Parks. They were still close. And I did season 10 of their show.
Don't do
so
movies.
We're talking 10 years they've been together. Things happen, you know. And Parks was the same way. There was never a bad word about another actor. Yeah. There was never animosity. It was just this wonderful place to be.
I can't do movies or TV shows with monkeys.
Yes.
Six degrees.
Well, and fake monkeys.
6 degrees of Friends. Craig Bierko was offered the role of Chandler. And Craig told me, he goes, I was offered Chandler. But I did this other show called Friends with Whatever. Oh. And it was about him and a monkey being best friends.
Yeah.
And Craig's like, I chose that one. And Craig's now $500 million poorer for the decision. So, and he's probably going to kill me for telling
that. At least he's not on The Odd Couple.
Yeah, right.
So there we go. It's all good. Sorry, Matthew. Love you, my friend. But that I'm not a fan of.
I got it. So you mentioned Parks and Rec. And I have to ask you some questions about Parks and Rec.
Sure.
I adored that show.
Oh, thank you.
I was on board from season one, and it only got better. It was one of those shows that kept getting better, which is impossible.
I couldn't agree more. I even tell people, start with season two.
I agree. It had to find its footing.
Yes, it had to find its footing.
Because the first season, it felt, and I'm sure you've heard, this felt like a knockoff of The Office.
Absolutely.
And
that was never their intention, but that is how it felt.
Right. But since then, it got better and better and better, and the ensemble just got stronger and stronger. Yeah. And your character, man, did you know? when did they start throwing all these arcs that you had at you?
The
evolution of Jerry.
And I know exactly when it happened because, first of all, the reason the show, and again, I'm obviously biased, but the reason, and I agree with you, that it got better every year is Mike Schur was at the helm. He never left us.
And by the way, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, great show.
Yeah. Great show. Yeah. I did a couple of those this year.
Yep.
Mike never left us. And what happens when a show gets big, everyone is throwing you other options. Mike never, to be honest, Greg Daniels, who also co-created.
Love Greg Daniels.
He left the office to come with us.
Yeah.
Parks. And that's when the office got a little jinky kind of thing. And then he went back and, you know. But I'm just saying, but Mike never left us. So the voice was always there.
Yeah.
His main voice was always there. And then you have someone like Amy who you'll never find anyone kinder and smarter and. So it just kept it all together. But what happened with Jerry was Dan Gore, who now is the co-creator of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, he came up with the bit. And so I always say, Dan, I owe you whatever I owe you, my friend, because I don't know if I could have stayed on the show if he hadn't come up with it. But there was an episode where we were finding dirt on each other. And it turns out Jerry doesn't like doing that. He doesn't want to hurt people's feelings and everything like that. So I come up with some silly thing about, to Mark Brandanowitz, Paul Schneider at the time was playing that role. And I'm like, I hear you've got two unpaid parking tickets. Big deal. And he looks at me and he goes, I heard that your adoptive mother smokes pot. I'm like, what? He goes, you didn't know she smoked pot? I'm like, no. I didn't know I was adopted. So they realized right then and there that's who Jerry is.
Yep.
But then Mike will tell you, he says it on interviews all the time, it got to the point where he had to say, stop it with everything. All people want to do is pitch Jerry bits.
Yeah.
You know,
is that when they decided to give you the big appendage because you had so much bad stuff
thrown at you?
There was
so much bad stuff, they decided they have to give me
an
amazing life outside of
exactly.
work.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
So that's my the first time we see your home life, I swear to God, I almost fell off the couch.
And when he goes to the doctor and the doctor's like, he has the biggest penis I've ever seen.
I don't even know if he has the mumps because I couldn't take my eyes off the largest penis I've ever seen. Which you know how that happened. I happened to be standing next to one of the writers at the
It was
urinal.
Real.
Yeah. Oh, that's how it happened.
Peek,
I see.
And so that's how that came to be. But they really felt like Jerry has to have an amazing home life. Otherwise, why is he not killing himself?
And then, I know.
and terrible.
It was like every scene, it would just be, and you played him so well.
Oh,
man.
Wow. Thank you.
And now, should we call him Gary?
His real name is Gary.
Right.
But over the years, Jerry, Larry, Gary, Terry, even Barry, did the mailman on Johnny Karate. So I don't know. And there was Gergich and Gengerch.
Right.
I don't know.
Fantastic.
I answered everything.
Well, it was such a great run. That show was great. Yeah, and
it was
a
gift. We did 125 episodes, and there was not a single. Here's how you know you love something. We shot single camera, which means you don't work every day. Like on a multi-cam, you're there every day.
Yep, right.
But single cam, if you're not in the scenes those days, you don't have to be there. I'd get my schedule the week before, and I'd be like, I'm off on Thursday. Yeah. Like I would rather have been there.
And it was such an incredible ensemble cast, yeah. And everybody was just so mm-hmm. funny in so many different ways. Yeah. And I know Nick from Chicago.
Do you know Nick?
I do. Yeah. Nick Offerman from Defiant Theater. His years at Defiant.
You know Joe Faust?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know all those guys. And so it's just fun to see and to see how Ron Swanson just took off.
Yeah.
Dude. He is iconic.
Yeah.
But here's something that makes me crazy, and everyone knows it, and it made me realize it's not as important as you think it is. The fact that Nick Offerman was never nominated for an Emmy.
Really?
Is, it goes, there was, there's no one on the air that was like Ron Swanson.
That's why I don't care
Ron
about
Swanson.
Those things.
I know, but, you know.
Because everyone's going to remember Ron Swanson in 10
absolutely.
Years.
Absolutely.
No one's going to remember who won Best Supporting Actor
just
2 years
for my
ago.
Favorite, I have so many favorite moments from all the characters in Parks and Rec, but, you know, and it's hard to pinpoint a Ron Swanson moment. But for some reason, I keep going back to when they're at Costco. And it's the veggie bacon.
Yes.
And he just throws it into the garbage
the
and
ground.
Then says, yes, may I have another?
May I have another?
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
That is the best.
That is Ron Swanson.
That's Ron Swanson.
Yes. And when he says bacon and eggs, he doesn't mean just an order.
No.
You might have misunderstood me. I want all of the bacon and all of the eggs. Yes.
I'm a big breakfast guy, so I love him.
Genius.
But, you know, and then.
No one other, you know, I auditioned for that role. That's how I went in and met them. I read for Ron Swanson.
Oh, you wouldn't have been
imagine
any good.
Anybody.
No.
Other than Nick.
No, never.
And this, you know, the stuff that Rob Lowe did on that show.
Oh,
and
so
stuff
good.
And Chris Pratt.
Yep.
Pratt.
Like,
yep.
I'm still
hopeful that his career is going to take off. I mean,
I don't know. We'll see, Jim. We'll see.
He did some of the most hilarious Pratt falls, like physical stuff that he did on
Pratt
that show.
Pratt
falls. That's right. Anyway, congratulations on that run, man. It was just great.
It was a gift.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk. Let's get to Landline.
Well, no, screw that. Anyway, so then when I turned 20, go ahead. Do we really need Matt here? I don't know why he's here.
Nope.
I don't know what he's doing.
Born ready.
So, Matthew, where did the idea for Landline come from? Did you have did you get sick of technology at some point?
Well, Jim and I decided that this was the year the Cubs were going to win.
Oh, okay.
We decided to give them that. No.
It's a gift that we gave Chicago.
You're welcome. I was on Facebook, I was on Instagram, Snapchat, way too much, taking over my life. And one of my favorite filmmakers is Albert Brooks. And I was obsessed at the time. And with Albert Brooks, it's great because he's seen all his movies. And every couple of years, you'll get obsessed with one you've already been obsessed with.
I know exactly
you know what
you
I'm saying.
Mean. Yep.
So it was Lost in America's turn.
It's my favorite Albert Brooks movie.
Iconic.
And the two micro budget movies I made, they're coming out later this year. They're very much R rated. And I wanted to do something not R rated. And I go, well, how are we going to make this funny? And I go, man, you know, Albert did it with Lost in America. It's a guy that goes crazy. That's funny. You don't need the swearing. You don't need the nudity. You don't need all that. You can just play off going crazy, which is perfect with technology because it does drive us crazy.
Right.
And that's what it did to me. And, I just thought, boy, wouldn't it be crazy if someone lost a job because they don't know how to use a Tumblr? I don't know how to use a Tumblr.
What is a Tumblr?
Right.
What is a Tumblr?
Right.
It's a gymnast.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what Tumblr is.
You know, so, like, I don't know how to do this stuff. I don't know how I get 500,000 followers on Instagram. I don't know any of this. And I'm just like, wouldn't it be really bad if someone lost a job that they're more than qualified for to someone less educated, but, man, they know their social media. And that's where the idea stemmed from.
And that's where it came from. And it's also was it important for you to tell it from the gay point of view as well? Was that an important?
That's interesting. No. And when Jim even got the script, and I even had to run this by Jim, so I did my first two films, and I played a gay lead in both those. But one's about labels, so it's a little bit about being gay. The other one's not about being gay at all. This one, I was going to stretch my acting wings and be married to a woman. And we had a lot of great options. Scheduling was an issue. Really bad because of Wrigley Field and because you want Jim, you want Tom, you want Betsy.
Yeah.
So your schedule's already in place. And then,
by Tom, you mean Tom Arnold.
Right, Tom Arnold. And then, like, the Jennifer Love Hewitts of the world would be like, well, I can come in for X days, And, oh, we can't move Wrigley, you know. And we'd love to work with you, but we can't move Wrigley. So I called up Major League Baseball. I had Lenny do it, my lawyer and producer. And I go, tell him, you know, I've done a couple LGBTQ lead films. Can I write two scripts? One for a woman, one for a man. If I find a better man before I find a better woman where the schedule works, we're going to make it with a guy.
Ah, that's interesting.
And that's how it came about. And, you know, I wanted to be really respectful, everyone, because I didn't want to trick people. I signed, you know, everyone signed on to do this movie. So I sent the script to everybody. I go, you know, I told Linda, Jim's manager, everybody. I go, tell them, are you okay with it changing to a male a husband? Because you never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
Sure.
And everyone was cool with it.
Well, that's
and
great.
That's what happened.
All
so
right.
it
Wait,
was.
What do you mean?
It was by happenstance.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, right. Jim's
I
just
know nothing
finding
of what
out.
You're speaking of.
Now, the thing that's really interesting, though, is, you know, Major League Baseball agreed to it. I mean, it took them 70 years to agree to let a black guy play the game. So,
right. So
I was kind of like, this isn't going to happen, but we might as well ask.
And they agreed.
And they agreed.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, we got a break. Hold on. It's Matthew Aaron, who is the star writer director of Landline, and Jim O'Hare, who is in the film as well. And we'll talk more about Landline. And you can see it starting April 4th on VOD. And next week, it's playing at the Music Box Theater. And you can check it out there. All right, it's Nick DiGilio here on 720. We'll take a break. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And Wildcard Wednesday, get your requests in, 312-981-7200. And my guests, live in studio here, Matthew Aaron, who is the writer, director, producer, and star of a film called Landline, and Jim O'Hare, who is also in Landline, who you know is from many, many credits, 142 to be precise, including Jerry from Parks and Rec.
Wow.
And
I'm so damn tired.
So, now, first of all, I just want to say, Jim, your first scene... you get to say my favorite Chicago word of all time, which we can't say on the air.
I know exactly. And it is my favorite Chicago word
ever.
Ever.
And I didn't even know it was, like, not air appropriate, because when you're from Chicago,
you say it all the time.
It's a comma. Yes. You know, it's like sentence, comma.
It's my favorite.
It's the best.
It's my go-to.
Yep.
It's a shame we can't say it.
No, we can say there was a TV show called Jag.
Yes, there was,
and it started.
And sometimes I'd have to turn it off.
There you go. That's it.
You know, I had something else I had to do.
Right. So that if you can maybe put those two together,
well,
that's what we're talking about.
I also
love the fact that you use that word to describe Truman in your first in your first lines of dialogue. And was it fun working with Tom Arnold? Because you guys seem to be having a blast.
We did have a blast. There was a lot of improv going on. We tried to be, you know, loyal to Matt's script, but
it was just no good, so they changed it.
No. But I'll, you know, and I always say this, not to go back to Parks, but I always use Parks as the perfect example. On Parks, after we got every scene done, we did a fun run, which meant we could do whatever the hell we wanted to do.
Yeah.
And you can get gold when you let actors, especially actors with improv experience.
Yeah.
And Tom has it, I have it. So, you know, we certainly did Matt's, and it's mostly Matt's script in the thing, but he let us go. And we had, not that this is my story to tell, but Neil Flynn, who was on Scrubs,
Neil.
And now he's on
Middle.
The Middle, he was, when they, first of all, he was hired as a guest star on Scrubs and then ended up doing the whole series, but they wouldn't even, they would just put Neil says something funny.
Yeah, that's not great.
Like, a lot of times they never even scripted him.
Yeah.
Oh, just because he's an improv guy.
Tell me that's
Neil,
what he does.
Neil's, I used to drink with Neil at Ty's till 4.
What a nice guy.
Yeah.
Neil and I would run into each other at a Wendy's on Sunset in L.A. And like, anything going on? No, nothing. How about you? Nothing. You know, and then years later, we're both at some award show. I think it was for Danny DeVito. For some reason, I pictured Danny DeVito up there. And we look at each other and like, what the hell are we doing here?
Yeah.
Like,
it's crazy.
How did we get from crabbing at a Wendy's about nothing going on to being invited to award shows?
It's crazy, man.
It's crazy.
I remember like years ago when Neil was here, he was a regular at Ty's till 4.
Yeah.
I was there frequently, and we used to hang out. And it was at the point when he first started to like land stuff and book things. He played a cop
all the time.
He was a cop in everything.
Yep.
until he got Rookie of the Year, and then he played a first baseman.
Yeah.
Right.
But must have been the highlight of his life.
There's something, and not that there aren't great people from everywhere. Of course there are, and I know I'm biased because it's Chicago, but Chicago, like Neil's the same guy he was here. Steve Carell's
the same
guy he was
here. We were talking about Pasquazi in the car.
Pasquazi is the same guy he's always been.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's it's Chicago.
It's
I think
Chicago.
Okay,
yeah.
Before we let you get out of here, you got to tell how you got Rhino in the movie. Ryan Sandberg's in the movie, so tell the story. We can close with that.
Oh, okay. So I went to a mall or something. You know how Urlacher got that hair thing done by Katona or whatever, yeah. And I thought he was a traitor. You know, I'm a baldist. I like being bald. Urlacher gets his hair done, and this guy's trying to sign people up to get their hair done like Urlacher. So I put my name in. I want to know the spiel. And he calls me on the phone. And I'm like, you know what? I make movies for a living. I got time. This guy gives me the whole spiel. And I go, yeah, and I'm not that interested. He goes, we have a conference next week. We have a little seminar we're doing. And we have a special guest host. Are you interested? And I go, yeah, I don't know. He goes, well, what do you do for a living? I tell him about the movie. He goes, who's playing the Cubs player? I go, you know, I don't know yet. Dawson, Wood, somebody. We're going to go out and get someone. Because at the time, Sandberg was on the outs with the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
Or we thought. Because the whole Philly manager spat they had with Renteria.
Yep.
And he calls me. He goes, oh, no, it's going to be Sandberg. And I go, oh. So I have Lenny check in with the Cubs. And they go, Sandberg's really interested in doing your movie. We would love for him to do it because we're trying to bring him back in the fall.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So then they're like, but here's the piece of the puzzle. You have to get him. So I go, Lenny, we're going to this hair seminar. So Lenny and I go to this thing. They tell Lenny he needs 40,000 new hairs on his head. It's going to cost him 30 grand. I skip the thing, and I see Sandberg, and I beeline. I stalk him all night, and I finally find my moment. I go, Ryan, so nice to meet you. Matthew Aaron. I don't know if you've heard about our film. He's looking at me like I'm crazy. I go, Tom Arnold and Jim O'Hara are in it. You want to do it? He goes, sounds fun. And he smiles to me with those big white,
white
teeth. White teeth. You could see yourself in them. And to his word, we called up his wife that week. They asked for $3 million. We go, we can give you $3. And he was in. He did it. And
that's great.
And he was awesome.
Yeah, he's great.
Greatest guy.
It was hot as hell when we were at Wrigley, which it didn't matter because we were at Wrigley.
Yeah.
But he kept he looks smile like he bathes in face, that. And he was just... He was so gracious.
Yeah, one of my favorite Cubs ever of all time.
Yeah,
there's no
mine
question
too.
About it. So, yeah, listen, congratulations on
Thanks,
the movie,
Nick.
Matthew.
Thank you so much.
And
we can do more of them.
And it's Planet of the Music Box Theater. It starts Sunday, goes through next Thursday. You can check it out on video on demand on April 4th, and I recommend that you do. Very entertaining stuff. And we have all the information on our Facebook page, so you can just go to facebook.com/NickDShow. Matthew, thanks for coming down.
Big pleasure.
Jim, man, great meeting you, man.
You
I'm
too.
A big,
this
big fan.
Great.
Big,
appreciate
big fan.
That.
And
you.
I appreciate you coming down. Okay, that's Matthew Aaron. And Jim O'Hare from the movie Landline, and it's playing on demand starting on April 4th. We've got to take a break. We got the news coming up next on WGN.